أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والسماء والطارق وما أدراك ما الطارق النجم الثاقب إن كل نفس لما عليها حافظ فلينظر الإنسان مما خلق خلق من ماء دافق يخرج من بين الصلب والترائب إنه على رجعه لقادر يوم تبلى السرائر فما له من قوة ولا ناصر والسماء ذات الرجع والأرض ذات الصدع إنه لقول فصل وما هو بالهزل إنهم يكيدون كيدا وأكيد كيدا فمهل الكافرين أمهلهم رويدا.
By the sky and the thing that appears at night, and what will explain to you what appears at night? The star with its brilliance, the brilliant star. Every soul has a guardian appointed over it. In the darkest skies will you find the piercing brightness of the star, irrespective of the darkness of the earth that we are hovering in, we still have the brilliant star of the Quran, the brilliant brightness of the Quran. One who wants to hold to it, he still finds the same brightness that was the time of revelation. فَلْيَنْزُرِ الْإِنسَانِ, then let man look from what substance he was made. He was made from water, from a fluid that is coming out with force, proceeding from between the ribs and the spine. And verily he, Allah, has the power to bring him back to life. The day the secrets will all be tried out and tested. What man concealed within his minds, the wrong intentions, the wrong temptations, the wrongs that he did secretly, everything will be brought in the open, all will be tried out, examined before Allah Ta'ala. And no person will have the power to defend himself. وَلَا نَاصِر, nor will he have anyone to assist him. No person has got the ability on that day to defend himself for the wrong that he has perpetrated, nor will he have anyone to assist him, to take him out of the problem. وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجْءِ, and by the heavens that come with continuous rain, and the earth that opens out with gushing springs and sprouting vegetation. So we see this reality, how the rain comes from above, and how the earth sprouts out with its vegetation. So like this he is absolute and certain, then is the word of Allah Ta'ala, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ. This is a word that decides right from wrong and false from truth. وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزْلِ, this is no amusement. إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا, they plot a scheme and I have a scheme as well. And respite the unbelievers, gracefully, gently give them some respite. They may have a chance, an occasion, an opportunity to reflect what they are doing, because generally you will find the consequences of your action in this world. So if one reflects and thinks about it, then he will find that these schemes of mine, these plot of mine, do not work. I must conform with the standard of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for me to be going right and for me to be blessed. سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. Glorify the name of your Rabb Most High, the one who has created and given order and proportion, the one who has ordained and guided, and the one who has brought out the pastures lush and green. Then he has turned it black stubble. Look at the different levels of the creation. The first is we are granted existence. Then every person is given order and proportion for sawwa, what was suited for you, the shape, the form, and the faculty that was suited for that creation. He's been given the type of shape and the type of faculty that was suited for him, for the environment that he is going to be living in, for the type of circumstances and duties that he has. So he's given that formation and faculty. Then, وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. Then he has ordained this whole itinerary of life from the very beginning to the end. Every creation and his itinerary has been ordained. An animal, then he has got a different itinerary altogether. And if it's a human being, then it's a different itinerary altogether. So each one has got itineraries to work with, and we see it playing out so beautifully. A cat's characteristic is totally different to a monkey, and a monkey's characteristic is different, totally different to a cow. Each one is suited for the decree that it has, the decree that is attached to it. The cow is to produce milk, so if you leave it in the pastures, it'll be continuously eating off the pasture, just to see that it provides milk. That cattle is for providing meat. If you leave it in the pasture in the morning and you return towards the evening, you will see it bowing down and pasturing all the time so that it could produce that meat. So every creation has been given order and proportion, and then the itinerary for that creation is ordained, that this is your itinerary. And accordingly, for Hada, after ordaining that itinerary, then Allah Ta'ala has given him that type of guidance, what we say instinct. That cat will behave totally different, and that cattle will behave totally different. So he who is guided it, it is Allah Ta'ala that's given it that type of instinct or that type of guidance, that you are created for this, so this is what you ought to be working for. Man's itinerary is totally different. He's got a spiritual side in him. He's got a spiritual dimension. Then he's got a material dimension. Two perspectives in one human being, one creation. And he has to work for both. He has to see that he's working for his material requirements and needs. And he has to see that he has to work for his spiritual needs and requirements. So this type of instinct and guidance was given to each creation. And then you see each one works diligently. One is decreed for Jahannam, then he's working in that direction from the morning till the evening. In the evening he's conspiring for deeds, dark deeds and wrong. And the one that is dispatched for Jannat, as though he's got no other meaning to life, he's got no other business in life, it is just akhirat, it is the beauty of Allah Ta'ala, it is the love of Allah Ta'ala that he's aspiring for, though he does his material needs, but his whole goal is different. From the morning to the evening, he can't do without the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is that instinct, that guidance that Allah ta'ala has given after creating the itinerary. Then he gives you that inclination that you get up and you are inclined towards a certain goal. So each person has got a different itinerary in the wise, in the master plan of Allah ta'ala. One has to become a doctor, so Allah ta'ala guides him accordingly. One has to become an engineer, then he's given that type of guidance as he's schooling, and then he's going to tertiary studies, that his whole mind is diverted in that direction, he works towards it, and that becomes the goal of his life. So all this is the divine decree of Allah Ta'ala that he has ordained. وَالَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى. It is he who brings out the pastures, then he makes it into black stubble. After maturity, there must be a decline, and everything decays after maturity. So is man. We see the vegetation around us, it grows lush and green, and then it matures, and after the maturity is decline and rot. So this is the end of this itinerary. After maturity, there must be a decline.
فَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى.
And we will recite this to you, the Quran Sharif, that you will not forget it, except as Allah Ta'ala wills. For He knows all that is open and all that is hidden. Nothing is concealed from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala wants to preserve the Quran in your heart. He will do so. So don't be stressing about it. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to stress at the beginning when he used to receive the revelation. And Allah Ta'ala consoled him that we will preserve it in your heart. وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَى. And we will make the path of ease simple for you. The path of deen will become simple for you to follow. When Allah Ta'ala makes it easy, then a man doesn't find any comfort without him offering his obligations. It's deep in your sleep, and you get up, and then you only feel ease after you've remembered him, made wuzu, performed a few rakats. Now you feel the ease. So we'll make the path of ease simple for you to follow. فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَى. Then go on reminding, if reminding is beneficial. This is not a conditional clause. It is a clause to impress upon you. إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَى. Like how we would say to a person, if you are a man, do this. It isn't that you are doubting his manhood, but you are encouraging him. That when you are a man, this is what is required of you, then why don't you go forward and do it? So same is advising. Advising is always beneficial. So as advising is beneficial, then go on advising and admonishing. Then there will be two classes of people. One is that person who fears Allah Ta'ala. So the one that fears will remember, he will receive the guidance. But the one that is unfortunate, he will abstain. The one that will enter into the huge, great fire. So your work is to go on admonishing. Afterwards, it is left to the person whether he accepts or he rejects. Then don't stress about that person who rejects. You have done your duty gracefully, properly, correctly. You have reminded him several times. Thereafter, it is his prerogative to accept or reject. You have done your duty. So the one that is most unfortunate, he will abstain. Eventually, he will land up in that great fire wherein he will neither die there nor live. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. Then the whole beauty of life, the whole goal of life, has been summed up here. The one that has purified, he is definitely prospered. He remembered the name of his Rabb, and he engaged in salah. So this is the plan and the prescription for prosperity. He's purified himself, remembered the beautiful name of Rabb, of his Rabb, and engaged in salah. Just a three-piece plan: purifying yourself, taking the name of your Rabb, and then engaging in salah. Purifying is three levels of purity. One is the body, the purity of the body. One is of the clothing that you wear. And one is, most important, is the purity of the heart. Purity of the heart in three respects. One is the beliefs must be pure, uncontaminated, no pollution whatsoever in the beliefs. Number two, the character must be absolutely pure. We aren't doing things for convenience and for what people will say, but rather we have to do it because Allah Ta'ala wants us to do it. He's ordained that we do it. So the character must be the right character that we are displaying. And number three, the actions that come out of the heart and the limbs, that also must be pure. So the one who has purified himself in these three respects, then he remembers the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is at all times he is in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is his private life or his public life, his business life or his casual life, in all sectors of his life, then he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, engages in salah. But then Allah ta'ala shows out and outlines what is the problem with mankind. You prefer the life of this world, whereas the hereafter is better and more enduring. If someone is shown a small, simple dwelling, not too beautiful in its look and appearance, and he says that this is yours for the rest of your life, and then he's shown a beautiful palace with all the type of finishes that a man can imagine, the beauty that is around, and the streams that are flowing underneath, with all the gardens and the lush growth around. He's seeing every type of beauty that is imaginable and perceivable. But it's told to him that you're going to be here just for 1 hour. So what is the wise thing to do? To go for the simple dwelling that you will live eternally, or to that home that will be there? It's outwardly very smart, very well adorned, very attractive, but you will be there just for 1 hour. Obviously, any person that's got any brains, any senses, he will take the simple dwelling, because this is for me and for the rest of my life. Now, what if that abode is as beauteous can be imagined, more than you can imagine, and it's eternal? Then isn't it the thing that we are supposed to be aspiring and running towards? In هذا في الصحف الأولى, all this information and advice is contained in the previous scriptures, the scriptures of Ibrahim and Musa alayhi salam. Abu Dharr Ghifari radiyallahu anhu inquired from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what were those inscriptions that were recorded in the previous scriptures of Ibrahim and Musa alayhi salam? So Nabi sallam explained, they were anecdotes, they were words of advice. For example, Allah Ta'ala instructs, O ruler, O wealthy person, I have given you wealth, I have given you some superiority, not so that you may hoard and be proud. Rather, I have given you this superiority, this power, this strength, and this muscle, so that you can spend upon those that are lesser privileged. For remember, the dua and the supplication of the oppressed person reaches me directly. There is no intervention. There is nothing that bars out the dua and the supplication of the oppressed. Then there is an advice that for the wise person, it is appropriate to understand the circumstance and the times that he is living in. Times and the circumstance he is living in, and he must understand what's going around and act accordingly. For example, we see the culture of a mall. What is the net essence of the culture of a mall? It is the woman, it is music, it is lights, and some type of presentation and attraction. If you leave out just the two, woman and the music that is there, half the business is gone. Then the one third or one quarter is because of the surrounding presentation that is shown. So if these three things are out, then three quarter of the business is gone out. So people go into it wildly and without pondering, without thinking, waste their money. Waste their time. Then they move away from an Islamic culture to a moral culture. Their dress is different. Their attitudes are changing. Their ways and behavior change. Their needs begin to change just because the culture and the understanding has changed. And if they only think correctly, how much they can save, how much more they can do for themselves, how much more they can prosper in deen, and how much more prosperity they can gain for themselves, for their wives and their children, in both respects, materially and spiritually. Then the other advice that was contained there, one is that you must know the things that are around you, the circumstance that prevail around you. Number two, you divide your time into three parts. One is for the worship of Allah Ta'ala. The second part is for reflection. You take stock of yourself. What are you doing? What's your itinerary? Where are you moving towards? Have you taken stock of yourself? If there's anything to be corrected, are you correcting yourself? If you've been blessed with some opportunity or some blessing, are you showing gratitude and appreciation to Allah Ta'ala? And the third, should work for his livelihood. Then in the other scriptures, the advices that were contained there, one is this, that I'm really surprised at the person who knows death is a reality, but he can go around rejoicing, laughing and amusing himself. And I'm also surprised at the person who knows that there is a thing like decree and destiny. There is a thing like taqdeer. That we all believe in a taqdeer. When we believe that there is a thing like taqdeer, then how can a person be distressed? Then we also see the changes around us. Today's poor person, tomorrow he's a wealthy person. And tomorrow's king becomes a pauper. We see that all the time. Today the person is healthy and strong. Tomorrow he's weak and helpless. So these changes we see all the time. So in spite of seeing all the changes, yet he remains complacent. He feels the phase that he's going through, the strength and the might, the beauty and the splendor is forever. But he doesn't look around that yesterday this person was also strong, was mightier than me, more beautiful and attractive than myself. But today, look at the person, he's like a hag, nobody wants to see him, he's helpless and useless now. So look at the changes of life and don't become complacent. And the last advice, I'm also surprised at that person who knows that the hereafter is a certainty, but he doesn't work towards it.